The Monster's Daughter, a novel, written by Michelle Pretorius and read by Jennifer Woodburn.
Chapter 1, Thursday, December the 9th, 2010. To get to uni from Johannesburg, take the N1 highway to Cape Town and veer onto the N12 southwest. The road is little more than a faded line in the savannah, pockmarked with cracks and potholes, heat rising off it in undulating wisps. Black women walk on the red dirt shoulder from farm to shantytown, babies tied to their backs in bright blankets, while children, some barely able to walk, clutch at their mothers' wide skirts. Sleek cars fitted with radar detectors thunder past them at irregular intervals, stirring dead air in their wake. 10 kilometers past the exit, traffic came to an abrupt halt, discordant horns provoking others in response. A BMW had flipped on its side, the front crumpled like silver wrapping paper on Christmas morning. Shattered glass sparkled on the blacktop. A middle-aged man lay in the road, clutching his head between his hands, his cropped blonde hair streaked with blood that seeped through his fingers, staining the cuffs of his dress shirt. The old semi the BMW had collided with stood unscathed, a few meters away, Nigerian rap blaring from its speakers. Constable Alet Bach had seen this scene many times since she'd been transferred to uni. From the skid marks, it was obvious the BMW had been going at one hell of a speed. Stuck behind the semi, his view of oncoming traffic obscured, the driver had probably decided to overtake on the left, going onto the shoulder of the road. Only after he pulled out did he see the people walking there, their lives teetering on his next move. He hit the brakes, jerked the wheel, prayed he'd avoid hitting the truck, but he didn't. Alet knelt down next to the man lying in the road. "Sir, can you hear me? Meneer?" His shoulders jerked in response, a sob escaping his lips, his gaze fixed on where Sergeant Johannes Matebe crouched next to the wreck. Matebe's droopy brown eyes scanned the interior. "There are people in the car." He strained to open the door. The bent frame of the BMW resisted his efforts. "Are they?" Matebe looked back at Alet, slowly shaking his head. The semi-driver yelled into his cell above the rap music, gesturing wildly with his free hand. "Turn that off!" Matebe yelled. A rapid exchange followed between the two men in a language Alet didn't understand. Xhosa, maybe Zulu? She forgot which Matebe was. The semi-driver swept both arms through the air, shooing Matebe away and climbed into the cab. Distant sirens replaced the heavy bass. Only an hour after the accident was called in, a record speed for that time of year. Alet turned her attention to the man on the blacktop. "What is your name, sir?"
"Skutter,"
came the muted reply.
"Who was in the car with you, Mr. Skutter?"
Tears mixed with blood running down his face in diluted crimson rivulets.
"My wife. The baby, Henty."
Skutter tried to push himself off the ground.
"They're okay, hey?"
Alet bit the inside of her cheek.
"Stay still, Mr. Skutter. We're doing what we can."
An onslaught of sirens and horns overpowered her words. Cars, trucks, and a donkey cart lazily moved onto the skirt of the road to make way for the ambulance. Alet and Matebe were pushed out of the way as the emergency services descended like locusts. The police were reduced to coaxing traffic past the accident. The corpses of Skutter's wife and son were laid out on the blacktop, covered with a sheet, while men in dark uniforms barked instructions. They lifted the still crying Skutter onto a gurney, as if crying would help. Alet's eyes lingered on the small bundle in the road as the sirens faded, the ambulance taking the turn off to George, the nearest town with a hospital. Heat rose through the soles of Alet's boots as they waited for a tow truck to remove the wreck.